When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
Bombers get another chance. Durham through the traffic. Gets it inside 50. Oh. Late front! The Bomber fans go crazy. It's Anzac Day. It's the big stage. It's 1 minute left. It's for the lead against the reigning Premier. And he's missed. Scores are level. 1 minute left.
Moore leaves the goal square. Hand passes to Howe. Kicks down the line. Cameron in front. Dragged off it by Laverty. Free kick.
That's dumb.
Cameron's ball. 60 seconds left. Hand pass to Nick Dacos. Tosses it up to half forward. Majek's got to make the contest pack of four. Underneath to Goey. Keeps the ball in motion. Gathers. Turns himself forward. Hand pass though cut off by Hind. Worked it around to Davey. Paddled it over the boundary. Between the wing and right half forward for Collingwood. Boundary throw in on the members' side of the ground. Scores locked together at 85 apiece. Tossed in. Goldstein down to the front. Crisp underneath. Buried. Got the hand pass to Pendlebury. Pushed in the back. Collingwood with the advantage. Nick Dacos. Lovely kick. Elliott dropped the mark. The diving mark. Whisked away by Kelly. Dumps it down the line. They all fly in. Side bottom. Hacks it forward. Hind holds it up. Hind's desperate to go. You wouldn't want to bugger this up. He finds the kick to Merritt. He tosses it high to centre-half forward. Moore will rappel. Anzac Day reprises the deeds of 1995. It's a draw. Can you believe it would happen again?
An amazing day yesterday. Great to have your company for Dwayne's World for Midday Madness. 1-300-736-736 is the number. Jump on the line. The next 2 hours are yours. 1-300-736-736. Anything from yesterday, anything in the world of sport you'd like to discuss, the next 2 hours are yours. And that open line brought to us by Werribee Kia always makes buying cars easy. It was a privilege to be there yesterday. It's a privilege to be able to call some footy on the greatest day on the Australian calendar. And for those that were there, for those that were watching at home, your thoughts on it, obviously. And I'll give you my thoughts on the draw very shortly. But 1-300-736-736, the open line number. And, of course, it's the 40 Winks Temper text. 40 Winks and Temper, 0433-98-1116. A great night's sleep, night after night after night. That is the difference. The difference is Temper. And a quick one off the top for me. A quick congratulations to Laura Kane and Andrew Dillon. Have you noticed the change in goal umpiring? Goal umpires are just calling goals now that they think are goals, and they're not calling for reviews of them, because guess what? It's going to be reviewed anyway on the way back to the middle. So thank you to Laura Kane, and thank you to Andrew Dillon. Either you listen to somebody, or you listen to people ringing this show, or you listen to us, but whoever you listen to, you made the right call. Goal umpires can now call goals again and not have to go to the review knowing that it's going to be reviewed on the way back to the middle, and that is the way it should be. Thankfully, someone made that change during the week, and it's gone unnoticed because no goal umpires have gone to reviews on goals, and I'm glad that has been changed. But your thoughts on yesterday's game, Dan in Ferntree Gully, Danny in Narre Warren, Andrew in Romsey, we will get to you all. Plenty to come on the Barclays Smokehouse lunch menu as well later on the program. Beat the lunch lockout with Grandmother Ham from Barclays Smokehouse. Find it at your local deli. Dermot Brereton's going to join us after two, and legendary golf commentator Paddy Walsh from the Live Golf in Adelaide. But Dan in Ferntree Gully, as we start with you, Dan, we'll get your thoughts before I give you mine. Welcome to you, Dan.
Hey, Dwayne, how are you?
Good.
So I thought that yesterday's game was really good. I thought that the pressure that the Bombers brought was very sufficient in regards to we Collingwood didn't have to do much more than what Collingwood does. We know they're a great team and a great side, obviously, prior premiers. So the Bombers had to bring the pressure, and I thought we brought ourselves up to their level. What are your thoughts?
Well, Dan, that was going to be my first question today. So my first question today to everybody and to you, who won yesterday? Because I feel like walking away from that game, I feel like waking this morning, Essendon fans would have felt like they got more out of it than Collingwood, almost as if they won on points, even though it was a draw. Your thoughts on that, Dan? Do you think Essendon kind of won yesterday?
Yes, I thought we had more opportunities, but due to some turnovers and some incidentals, Collingwood are good on the rebound, you know, getting that, you know, just making it count when it matters. And that's why they're the top of the table.
Good on you, Dan. Thanks for kicking us off. So your thoughts on that? 1-300-736-736, because that is one of my first questions to ask you today. Who won? If you had to make a winner or a loser out of yesterday's draw, who do you think would have won on points? Because I feel like the Bombers kind of won out of that result yesterday. Danny Narawarran, you there, Danny?
Yeah, hi, Dwayne. Well, I'll answer your questions, not what I'm ringing about, but I hate losing, and coming out of the draw is it's a great spectacle for both supporters, no loser, and a great game for all the public. But what I want to share with you is 1977, I was there, the draw, the 1990 drawn West Coast final at Waverley, 95 Essendon Collingwood first Anzac Day draw, St Kilda 2010, and yesterday. I think these games, for the supporters especially, they are immortal. I'll remember from every one of those games one or two things that I'll never forget. I can tell you the year. I know what happened. I'd hate to lose. I know grand finals. I don't know what's going to happen with them in the future, but I just think a drawn game, especially big ones like that, you'll never forget certain aspects of that game. You'll know it in like 77. I was a 15-year-old boy, and I remember Twiggy Dunn taking that mark and kicking the draw. And I just want to share with you what happened in that year. About a minute after that game, a puff of smoke went up in the MCG because everyone was smoking back then in the ground.
Appreciate your call, Danny. Hold the line. We've got a grandmother ham coming your way. A grandmother ham heading your way in Narrawarran, thanks to Barclay Smokehouse. Ask for grandmother ham at your local deli. So my thoughts on the draw are, and we've got plenty of calls on it, and we've got to put a straw poll up on the Dwayne's Board Twitter feed as well, on the X feed. Extra time or not? Are you for extra time or not? We'll put that up now and we'll actually get the vote come 2.5 hours time. There are things in this AFL world that I think need fixing, changing, and I thump the table because I'm passionate about the AFL improving, evolving and getting better. Sitting on the fence is no good for a talkback host, but I can't get my head around whether I do or don't want extra time. I played in a draw one day against Essendon at Windy Hill. I know the dead feeling you get. But did fans go home disappointed yesterday? I don't think they did. Did TV viewers not enjoy that game and it's finished yesterday? I think they did. Do we need extra time? Well, it would make the drama even bigger if you had 3 minutes either way to decide a winner. Yes, it would. It would be fantastic. Great extra drama. But do we need it? Well, no, is what my answer is. As a radio host, you have to be honest. You can't just take a side for the fun of it or the talkback that it might generate. Honestly, I don't necessarily know what I want, but I don't think we need it. The only reason I see that we should have it, the only reason I think the AFL might change it one day, is because of this philosophical reason. It's because the rule in finals and the rule in the home and away season shouldn't be two different rules. And we do have extra time in finals. We do have extra time in a grand final. So philosophically, should you have a competition where you have two different sets of rules, one for the home and away season and one for the finals? Philosophically, I don't think you can have two different sets of rules. So that's the reason why I think the AFL maybe could change it and will change it in time. But do we need it? If it was up to me to change it now, it would probably be nah. I kind of like what we got yesterday. Nick in Mill Park will come to you because I know you want to talk about Brisbane and they need to be talked about. James and Ivanhoe, who won yesterday, James?
Yeah, there, Dwayne. Mate, the public won yesterday.
I'm agreeing with that, James. Everyone won. All those people that went won. All those people that watched on TV won. And all those people who love that AFL enhances the storytelling and the linkage of young people to the Anzac spirit and the Anzac story, I think all did win yesterday. So I agree with that. Thanks for your call on that. Andrew and Romsey, you there, Andrew?
Yeah, g'day, Dwayne. I went there yesterday to Anzac Day, and I went in 95 when there was a draw. In 1995, I think both sets of supporters walked out feeling like they'd won. And speaking to the supporters after the game yesterday, as much as it was a great game, there was missed opportunities for both sides, and they were ruining the missed opportunities, but not overly. Everyone agreed it was a great game. And maybe Essendon did win. They got ahead of Collingwood at the start. But I think the 2 points actually helps Collingwood because we haven't had a good percentage over the last few years. We finished top of the ladder, but it was a game clear last year. But our percentage was about fifth. And if you've got a low percentage, the 2 points really help you. But if you've got a better percentage than the teams around you, the 2 points don't help as much.
Appreciate your call on it. Brendan in Pasco Vale, as we take as many calls as possible on this 1-300-736-736 after what was an epic day. Brendan, welcome to you.
G'day, Dwayne. How are you going?
Good.
Look, I was just listening. Look, I'm a bit like you. I feel conflicted about the whole, whether or not to play extra time. But what I would say is I don't think you said that the philosophical reason for changing it. I actually don't think it sticks because, you have to have a result in the finals. If you equate it to, playing World Cup soccer or something like that, you have to get a result in the final stages, but you don't have to get a result in the group games.
So, no, fair enough.
To me, you play the time, you get a draw, and I think that's fitting for both sides.
Yeah, teams can't actually get a cider or a practice, or we can't get an understanding of what it's like. So we could have this ridiculous situation where something happens for the first time, essentially in a grand final, and no team's ready for it, no team's prepped for it, no team's seen what another team does to get the IP on it. So, yeah, but you're right, two different sort of things, I suppose, the World Cup finals as opposed to the World Cup early rounds. So I appreciate your call on it. That's why we're debating it. Because I hate sitting on the fence, but do we need it? Probably not. If it was up to me to change it, I don't think I would. And I hate sitting on the fence. But this is one of those where I'm actually in two minds. So I've got to be honest about it.
Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
Straight back to your calls for Midday Madness. Keep your calls coming. 1-300-736-736. The open line number. Aaron and Glen Iris. Welcome to you, Aaron. Thanks for holding.
Hi, Dwayne. How are you?
Good.
Just two quick ones. I reckon Collingwood stole the draw yesterday. I had a look at the numbers. If you didn't have the score with the numbers, I would have thought Essendon would have won by five or six goals. The clearances, they killed Collingwood. The other thing was, has there been a better mark in the last 10 years than Jamie Elliott's yesterday?
Last 10 years? Oh, look, big moment, big game, big stage, probably not. But there's been some goodies. There was the theatre of yesterday and that mark. Jamie Elliott's done it a few times on Anzac Day with goals, but, yeah, he's a ripper. And you always know it's a chance to happen at Collingwood games with Bobby Hill and Jamie Elliott. So, yeah, good call. And well called by JB as well. Did a good job of that. Barry and Ryan, welcome to you, Barry.
G'day, Dwayne. Love your work, mate.
Thank you.
I just wonder, Hawthorne, North Melbourne and Brisbane are very ordinary at the moment. And given that there's still no resolution to the Hawthorne racism inquiry, do you think that may be having an impact on Clarkson and Flagan and their ability to coach?
Maybe, but again, as I've said a few times on this show, you can look at a burnt bit of toast and see the image of Jesus if you look hard enough sometimes. Sometimes we find stuff that's not necessarily there, so I don't want to say that it's affecting the way they coach. Let me just say it's coincidence at the moment, but if it continues down this way, you've got to wonder why both teams just don't have any chemistry at the moment and whether their coaches are finding the pressure. Look, you know, Chris Fagan got grumpy with the press last week. I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. I don't want to say definitively and call it that because I'd rather think it wasn't. Mark in Brisbane, you there, Mark?
Dwayne, hi, how are you?
Good.
Good. Live in Brisbane, but I'm a Crows and Norwood supporter.
And?
I want to talk about the 15-metre interpretation by an umpire when one teammate kicks to another teammate and the inconsistencies, whether it's gone 5 metres, it's been given a mark, 20 metres and it's play on. I think the AFL should abolish that rule and not have a 15-metre distance if one player wants to kick to his teammate. If no one wants to man up on him, well, so be it. The only thing I'd like to change is that if a team kicks backwards, it's play on automatically, regardless of how far it's travelled. But 15 metres, the umpires just can't interpret it. It's so inconsistent, and it's one less thing for they have to worry about. Your thoughts?
So you'd allow a 5-metre kick even, Mark, would you?
Yeah, I would, but it makes the other team accountable to man up. If that's the sort of game they want to play, fine.
Yeah.
You make sure you play a one-on-one. But if you kick backwards, it's play on, regardless. I think
yeah.
15 metres, looking from the goal square, looking at it over the tapes, over this year's season so far and other seasons, it's just so inconsistent when they call it not far enough play on and it's travelled more than 15 metres. And sometimes it's gone more than 15 metres and they've called it play on. It's just so inconsistent and no one's talking about it or looking at it.
Yeah, I wouldn't change it, Mark. We'll agree to disagree on that. I don't like the idea of maybe someone inside 50 just who's under pressure, kicking it 2 metres to a guy, a teammate, and he takes the mark and he can go back and have a set shot. It's too big a change to the game, I think. I'd be more than happy to change it. It was 10 metres once upon a time. It's 15 now. I'd be probably preferring to make it 20, to be honest. But certainly, I'd be keeping a length of a kick before it's paid a mark, not letting 2 or 3 metre kicks be paid. But that's the beauty of Midday Matters. You call, you get on, everyone gets a chance to have an opinion. 1-300-736-736 is the open line number. Straight back to your calls for Work Locker, Karen Downs and Packing and Work wherever you work. Straight after the break. Straight back to your calls for Midday Madness. An NBA playoffs update as well for Tyre Power. Nothing but net on Kumo Tyres. Game 3 of the New York-Philadelphia playoff series. The 76ers have taken game 3, 125-114. So New York lead that series 2-1. Game 3 of Cleveland v Orlando. Orlando won that game. Game 3, 121-83. So Cleveland lead that series 2-1. And game 3 of Denver v the LA Lakers. We'll keep you in touch with that during the course of the show. Game 3 is underway. Lakers leading 18-13 in the first quarter. So NBA playoffs for Tyre Power. Nothing but net on Kumo Tyres. Mick in Airport West. You want to talk the draw? Welcome to you, Mick.
Good afternoon, Wayne. The draw, you've got to leave it for the home and away season purely for the fact that at the end of the year, at the end of the home and away season, it could mean a side gets in or misses out by those 2 points.
Yeah, I'm happy to leave it. If it was up to me, as I said at the top of the show, I'd leave it. Do we need to change it? No, I don't think so. Did everybody leave the ground yesterday thinking they saw something epic? Were they happy? Yeah, I think they were. Everyone watching that TV contest yesterday, were they leaving that game thinking they saw something special? Yeah, I think so. So I'm not changing it either. A couple of texts that have come through. Love the draw. Keep it as it is. Hay pipe, I've been anti-draw, but after yesterday, I'm all for it, except finals. It was a fitting result, and I'm a neutral supporter, and I absolutely loved your call yesterday, Bruce and Bendigo. Thanks for that, Bruce. It was fun to be part of the call yesterday. The little edit was interesting that I just heard. There was one here. I better get to it, given it's critiquing my work. And I get quite a few coming through critiquing my work. Dwayne, the Essendon people would be pretty upset with your commentator's curse yesterday, saying that 9 times out of 10, he would kick that goal, Langford, when he was lining up. Yeah, well, if you heard the whole bit of commentary, I said 9 times out of 10 or 99 times out of 100, he will kick it, but this is Anzac Day. This is 96,000. This is the big stage, full house. So it changes things. And in the replay bit that was edited out, that was edited out. So I did emphasise the fact that it was different for Langford yesterday because of the stage, the crowd, and the Anzac Day atmosphere. Take it to the bank, Dwayne. We've got an early take it to the bank for from Greg in Elphingstone for the Bank of Queensland. Zerha and LDU will join Brad Scott in the red and black in consecutive trade periods. Thanks for that, Greg. We'll give you another take it to the bank for the Bank of Queensland a bit later on in the program. But back to your call. Oh, one here. The real winner was Carlton, because we don't have to put up with either team winning. And another one here. Carlton supporters won yesterday because both teams that we hate didn't win. Dave in Heidelberg West. Thank you for that. Steve in Port Arlington. Welcome to you, Steve.
Hey, Dwayne. How are you going?
Good.
Just wanted to touch on the Chris Fagan and the Lions not doing so well. I have a theory, and I've got... This is just an observation, no stats or anything like that, but I'll be interested to see the stats. I think that, like, both Collingwood and Brisbane, why they've taken a step back this year is they don't. There's no accountable football. Their pressure is not there like it was last year. They seem to be like everyone wants to play that free-flowing game, and it looks like basketball on the field, just running up and back. But there's no pressure anymore for those teams. I think, you know, the real pressure teams like Geelong, Melbourne, Carlton, you know, they're all sitting up the top of the ladder for a reason, and I suspect it's because they apply offensive pressure as much as defensive.
Yeah, although the Orange Tsunami running up and back. Look, Collingwood running up and back and won a flag last year, Steve. I still think running it up and back is still going to win your flag if you can get it right. I'm with you on pressure, but Collingwood bring the pressure when they're playing well. So that was a thing that beat Port Adelaide when Collingwood raised the pressure against Port. So I'm not sure I'm agreeing with you there, because those teams like Collingwood do bring pressure as well as running it up and back. Jimmy and Mossman, you there, Jimmy?
Yeah, g'day, Pilot. First time, long time. Love your work, mate.
Thank you.
I've got a bit of an obscure idea about how to decide these games that end in a draw. It's a bit out there, so bear with me. The siren goes. The game's a draw. Each team selects one player. I'm thinking it's got to be their most skillful and fastest player. Say for yesterday, it'd be Bobby Hill and Alwyn Davey Jr. as an example. The ball gets placed in the middle of the ground. Each player starts on the goal line of their back line. The siren goes. It's a race to the middle. First player to put it through the big sticks. Now, can you just imagine the pressure, the drama, 95,000 people cheering, each bloke who's got the whole club on their shoulders. I think it'd be a great spectacle.
Thanks for that lateral thought, Jimmy. I don't think it'll ever happen. Would I choose that to happen? Wouldn't mind seeing it for the fun of it. But do I want that to be the change? No. But that doesn't mean I don't want you calling more often with some crazy stuff, because I love a bit of crazy stuff. Dave in Box Hill, you there, Dave?
Yeah, g'day, Dwayne. Mate, epic game yesterday. A mad Pies supporter. 100% epic match, but I thought it was a fitting result with the ebbs and flows. But Jamie Elliott, just imagine this. I'm probably a bit younger than you, right? Jamie Elliott's my height. He's climbed onto Mackay, who's 2 metres high. So it's like you're on a ladder and you're suddenly fall backwards off the ladder. Mm-hmm. These guys are true warriors. I'm not kidding you. All of them who can do that, total respect. And not just Jamie Elliott, but anybody who does that stuff. Yeah. And I don't think it's talked about enough, Dwayne. I really don't.
No, I appreciate your call, Dave. And again, I don't want to go on and on about something that I get grumpy when people go on and on about it. But just for the record, because we had a few callers and I got a little grumpy with one a couple of days ago, because I don't like this whole thought of what if a player jumps for a mark and he knees someone in the head and they get concussed. The AFL will never, ever, ever change the rule to the point that if Jamie Elliott concussed Ben Mackay yesterday with his knee, that won't be a mark. That will never happen. And let's just put that argument to bed forever now, because as if the AFL is ever going to take that mark off Jamie Elliott and say, well, you concussed Ben Mackay, that's a free to him. That'll never happen. So can we stop that argument forever? Keep your calls coming. John in Carlton, John in Mill Park, Roy in Essendon, Stephen Keelor. We'll get to you next. It's Midday Matters.
Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
John in Carlton, thanks for holding. John, welcome to you.
Yeah. G'day, am I on?
Yeah, you're on the air. John, welcome to you.
Yeah, love your work, Dwayne. Love it.
Thank you.
What a day yesterday. Went to the Anzac Memorial first thing in the morning. Saw the game of the year, the goal of the year from Elliott. From Dacos, the mark of the year from Elliott. And I think Essendon won the moral victory. We can contend with premiers, so I think we've turned the corner. So what a fantastic day.
Yeah, John, I think, we've got a straw poll up at the moment on the Dwayne's World X feed, the Twitter feed. Who won yesterday, if you're going to judge it on points, even though it was a draw? And I think it's running at about, we've had about 300 votes so far, running at about 80% Essendon winning on points, John. So there's a few with you on that. Keep your calls coming on that if you've got a thought. Hold the line, John. We've got a few things to give away today. And the beauty of having so much to give away is that it's a lot of fun. And a few double passes to the Mavericks versus the Fever on Saturday night. Head to melbournemavericks.com for tickets. And you've got a couple coming your way, John, in Carlton. So a double pass to the Mavericks v. the Fever on Saturday night. John in Mill Park's also on the line. Welcome to you, John.
Thanks for taking my call, Dwayne. Just a couple of real quick points. I'm in Brett Scott's comment about the sub rule, which is something that I believe is ridiculous. But why is the biggest participated and watched sport in the world post-COVID went to five players on their, what they call, a reserves bench? And we, the professional sport, where we play a lot longer than a soccer game, we have a sub rule. Why don't they just go to five players on the interchange? Instead of having 80 interchanges, you have 7. It is just the most ridiculous rule. And Brad Scott's right. You've got a player coming off the bench, and you have to wait until a doctor determines whether he can go back on the ground or not before you make the sub rule.
Yeah, John, we're just losing you there in bits and pieces. So let me just emphasise your point by letting everybody know what Brad Scott said after the game. And I agree with you, and I agree with Brad Scott. We should just have 5 on the bench rather than a sub rule. But here's Brad Scott explaining it on the Harry Jones face injury situation yesterday, where he wasn't concussed, but he had to actually bring a sub on because of the parameters the AFL put around it. Here's Brad Scott.
Such a difficult one because they've got to assess him. We had 16 minutes to go in the last quarter, and they've got to make an assessment. So we just made the call. Just take your time because we've got to sub him. We don't have time to wait. So again, it's sort of one of those frustrating. I mean, I've been pretty vocal. I don't know why we have a sub. I've got absolutely no idea. I mean, if we didn't have a sub, we wouldn't have to worry about rushing the doctors to try and get a concussion diagnosis or not. We just put the fresh player on who's sitting there. But then we have to sit there with the fresh player while we're assessing a key forward when the game's on the line, the sub's supposed to take the pressure off the doctor. I'd love someone to explain that to me. I've got no idea.
So you just go with 5 on the bench?
Yeah, 5 or 4 or, you know, with sub. Like, brought back the rule everyone hated.
Brad Scott explained it pretty well. So Michael Voss was asked it at his press conference today. I'll play a little bit more of Michael Voss later. But here's Michael Voss talking about a couple of other things, including that. And he was weighing into a couple of things today that I'll play later. But here's specifically the Brad Scott sub comments.
Yeah, we tend to have a view at times, sometimes after games, when you're quite emotional and has an impact possibly on the on the end result, whether that's a draw or whether that's the interchange itself. I've had a sort of long view on this, is that, you know, we should just play the 5, and you know, the rotations take care of, the rotation cat take care of you know, the load of the players. If anything, the players maybe miss out in a few minutes on the field. That's probably about the only thing it costs us. What it does do is it takes away that, you know, that decision at the end of games when it's high stakes, it's high risk, and you have to make a decision on whether a player's available or not available. So it does take that decision away. I see no reason why we can't go to the 5.
Michael Voss on that, and both coaches explained it well, and maybe they need to rattle the cage a little louder and get that change, because I think it's a good change if they get that up. Midday Matters for Work Locker, Karen Downs and Packing and Workwear for wherever you work. Straight back to your calls next.
Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
Roy in Essendon, welcome to you, Roy. Great to have you on.
Yeah, love your show, mate. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, I wanted to make a... I'm a Bombers supporter, but I love the Kangaroos as well. And I don't know whether Alistair Clarkson's made a massive blue in the appointment of his senior assistants, and that with the lack of experience in those guys in the developing side, whether he's gotten rid of the guys that he had last year, probably a little bit premature, mate.
So Brett Ratten, you think, should still be there? I don't think Brett Ratten and...
Go on. I don't think Alistair Clarkson is just... What I'm saying is the experience that he's lost from developing sides has probably played a part in where North Melbourne is today.
I can't quite get where you're coming from, Roy, because Brett Ratten was an assistant there, and now he's gone to Hawthorn. So you're saying that he needs more experience as assistants or not?
Correct, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, maybe they should have kept Brett, but I'm not sure they saw eye to eye on a couple of things at the end, which you kind of want from your assistants anyway. If you've got five people in the room and they're all agreeing all the time, then you probably only need one. Ray on the road, welcome to you, Ray.
G'day, Dwayne, how you going?
Good.
Good. Now, declare myself Collingwood supporter. What I'm about to say has got nothing to do with Collingwood were cheated. Essendon were the better side in the first 5 minutes. Collingwood struggled. You can't win games 4 goals down. Everybody, I think it was a draw. I want to talk about the three-quarter time umpiring in, interchange infringement, where last year Kangaroos and Sydney at Marvel, Kangaroos made the wrong interchange. Sydney got the 50-metre free kick, kicked the goal in the last 3 minutes and won the game. That's the correct rule. For some strange reason yesterday, neither the AFL umpiring advisor on the side or the main field umpire awarded Collingwood that free kick. That should have been a Collingwood free kick from the 15-metre line. Whether they win or lose is totally irrelevant. I just want to ask you what your interpretation... I spoke to a friend who's a country umpire and he said 100% that should have been a free kick because that's an infringement. What do you think?
Well, it could have been an infringement, Ray, because they didn't have their players in the right 6-6 and 6 position, but no game time elapsed during that time. So that's the difference maybe between what happened with North Melbourne last year. There was game time being played whilst they had the wrong person on the field playing in the game time, whereas at three-quarter time, there's no actual game time elapsing for them to get any advantage out of it. But you're right. I thought there would have been a free kick come from it at least. Appreciate your call. Dean, Dominic, Richard, another big hour of Midday Madness to come. Stephen South Morang will get to you as well. 1-300-736-736, the number.
Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
Always love your company for Dwayne's World and for Midday Madness. Keep your calls coming. Another big hour of Midday Madness. And then later on, after 2 o'clock on the Barclays Smokehouse lunch menu, beat the lunch lockout with Grandmother Ham from Barclays Smokehouse. Find it at your local deli. Dermot Brereton after 2 and legendary golf commentator Paddy Welsh at the Live Golf in Adelaide. Barclays Smokehouse, ask for Grandmother Ham at your local deli. But back to your calls straight away. 1-300-736-736, the open line number brought to us by Werribee Kia. And Werribee Kia always make buying cars easy. If you drop down, you'll see David, Janan, Aid, Jim, the whole team. They would love to see you. Steve in South Morang wants to talk yesterday's game. Welcome to you, Steve. Thanks for holding.
Good. How are you, mate?
Good.
Just, I know everyone sees the game differently. As a my supporter, I was there yesterday. I think a great game. Both teams can be happy to walk away with 2 points. I think we walk away from the game looking like we've lost 2 points, because after, I know Essendon had a hot start the first 10 minutes. They kicked four quick goals. After quarter time, we won the game by 19 points. Now, my check could have had a day out. Now, he had eight shots on goal, and two of them went on the full. Now, I just think the Pies are building, and they're slowly getting their groove, because we got our hunger back in big chunks of the game. We're not allowing teams to even kick a point. Now, you commentated the game last week against that second quarter. They didn't have a point on the ball for 25 minutes of play in that second quarter, and same as yesterday in that last quarter. I just think we walk away losing 2 points.
No, it's a fair call, Steve. That's why I asked the question. Who won on points yesterday if you had to judge it as a fight, given that it was pretty much even at the end on the scoreboard? But it wasn't even in some people's minds yesterday. And I'm glad you've pumped up for Collingwood actually getting quite a bit out of it, because you're right, there was a lot that Collingwood could take away. Essendon, to me, made a couple of mistakes as well late. With, and I said it in the commentary, with 4 minutes to go, 5 minutes to go, and you're down by a point, I'm not going for a short pass to the top of the square if I'm 50 metres out. I'm actually going to the goal line and taking the point. With five, I know there's still 5 minutes to go, but if I'm a point down, under Blighty's old rules, I'd be happy to either kick it to the goal line and take a mark, or if the opposition want to run it through for a point, I'm fine with that. Obviously, you wouldn't do that early in the game because you don't want to kick to the goal line and have the opposition run it through for a point and then get an easy kick in. But to be honest, if you're a point down with 5 minutes left, I'm happy to tie the scores up for starters. Kick it to the goal line, hope your teammate's got a marker, but if not, scores are level and we'll play you in a 5 minute game for the game. So that's where I think Essendon made a mistake as well. It hasn't been talked about yet, but that's one change. If I'm Essendon and Brad Scott, I'm telling his players to do that. As Blighty, I think, told us to do back in the day. But Blighty's on air this week. We'll find out whether that's what he would do. Dominic in Sydney. Welcome to you, Dominic.
G'day, Dwayne. Love the show. Just wanted to say, mate, I concur with Brad Scott to scrub the sub rule and allow the five players on the interchange bench. But excuse my ignorance. Wasn't Brad the ops manager at the AFL when the coaches wanted the sub rule removed a few years back? Why didn't he change it then?
Maybe he didn't have enough power, or maybe he took it to the commission, they knocked him back. That's why he's grumpy about it now, not being what he wanted.
Okay.
Because he can't make those changes without commission approval, or at least without, well, when he was there, Gil McLaughlin's approval. So he can suggest it, he can raise it, but if it doesn't get approved above him, it doesn't come in. So maybe he did want it when he was there. But a good call, though. He was the footy ops manager, absolutely. Richard in Ashwood, welcome to you, Richard.
Hi, Dwayne. Thanks for taking the call. Just wanted to get your opinion on where you see Essendon at through seven rounds, given your pre-season predictions for them.
Yeah, well, I think that in terms of upside and evolution and improvement, I think Essendon has the scope to get more out of themselves between now and the end of the season and keep that improvement curve going. I love the improvement of Harrison Jones. We all talk about the improvement of Caldwell this year. We all talk about the improvement of Durham this year. But there's some other guys that are having their best seasons. The improvement in the leadership of Zach Merritt. The improvement in your back line having Ben McKay. So in terms of where you're at now, Richard, and where you could be heading into the finals, there's a huge upside in Essendon that I think most of us thought maybe could happen. But now we're actually seeing it with our own eyes. You get more hopeful that it will happen, Richard.
Yeah, it's just good to see us playing with a bit of substance, and we desperately need Ridley back, and he'll improve us massively as well.
So do you think your final's bound, Richard? You can do some damage in September?
Given I'm an Essendon supporter and we fall away late in season, it's hard to trust, but I think we're in the right direction.
So you're in exactly the same world as I'm living in, Richard. I do want to believe, but until it actually happens, you don't believe. It's a bit like watching Port Adelaide. I mean, I believe all year in the home and away season, and then in the finals, the same thing happens, not quite good enough. So until it actually ends up that they are good enough, you don't want to get too far ahead of yourself. Great call. Hold the line. You've got a double pass to go and see the Mavericks v. the Fever on Saturday night. Head to melbournemavericks.com for tickets, and we've got a few of those doubles to give away. Great call. Phil and Epping, you there, Phil? Thanks for holding.
Hi there, Dino. I just want to speak about Brisbane Lions. I watched that game very closely last night, and there was just a few key takeaways I had in that game. I think Hugh McCluddy's time in the midfield is done. Like, you have to get rid of him. All he does is get the cheap ball from D50, and he never runs back. I think it's time for Fagan to just send a message, put him on the wing. He's not winning contested possessions. I don't know. I think he's playing a very, very cheap role in that midfield. And I think they need to put Zorko behind the ball, make sure he's the sheriff, like what Whitfield was last night, and not everyone trying to be the sheriff at Brisbane. So that's just my thoughts.
Yeah, Phil, you got the talent. You got the players. You made the grand final last year, but something's gone wrong with the chemistry. Something's gone wrong with the effort. There's just no synergy. I mean, we know, did Collingwood have the best list last year? Maybe not, but gee, they just played the best footy. And for some reason, they played with smiles on their faces. It was a pressureless, as if the world wasn't on their shoulders the way they played last year. Collingwood had nothing to lose. It was a beautiful thing watching what Collingwood showed us last year, and they won a flag with it. Brisbane seems so far the opposite at the moment. Chemistry, effort, world on their shoulders, players doing individual stuff. I mean, no one's... The beauty of watching Bobby Hill give those goals to Schultz last week was it kind of emphasised exactly what the best of Collingwood can be like. And I know they didn't win yesterday, but it's still great that Collingwood's playing that kind of footy. And for some reason, Brisbane's lost it right now. Now, it's a long season. They can get it back, but that's, in essence, Chris Fagan's big job. Jenny and Ivanhoe, welcome to you, Jenny.
Hi, Dwayne. I'm ringing. I'm a Collingwood supporter. Wasn't disappointed with the result yesterday. I felt that either side could win and was relieved we actually got the draw in the end, because I think both teams had plenty of opportunity, but we didn't take them. But the biggest disappointment yesterday was actually arriving at the ground over an hour before the start of the game, and the AFL record had already been sold out. And I know SEN produced the record.
Yeah.
And I think in all the times I've been to Anzac Day, it has never happened before. It's, you know, at 2:05, you would expect to be able to still purchase a footy record. So I'd like an explanation as to why it sold out so soon, because a huge crowd was predicted. And as I say, it's never happened before.
See if I can get one from Ashley Brown or one of those people who run the record at SEN. Jenny, and we'll find that out. Hold the line. We'll get you a record, even though it's a bit late, if you like to keep them. And we'll send you to the Mavericks v Fever on Saturday night as well. Head to melbournemavericks.com for tickets. Appreciate your call. We'll find that out. Matt in Perth, you there, Matt?
Yeah, can you hear me, Dwayne?
Yeah, you're on the air.
Yeah, mate. Essendon supporter here. What a game yesterday that was. I thought the draw was fitting from the effort from both sides. Dwayne, just the Dons, they've got a good stretch of games coming up, and I reckon they'll be sitting fourth or fifth at round 12. They get the Eagles next week, GWS, North Melbourne, Richmond, and then the Gold Coast.
You're going to be nervous in that first final, Matt?
Yeah, I will be, mate. I think it's after yesterday, I think you know what you're going to get from the Dons now, and I'm confident we're going to make finals, and yeah, let's hope we can win one.
I love it. Thanks, Matt. Appreciate your call. Jacob in Ararat. Welcome to you, Jacob.
G'day, Dwayne. How you going?
Yeah, good.
What are your thoughts on Collingwood's performance so far without Dan McStay and Nathan Murphy? I think most other clubs would get a bit more benefit of the doubt if they were missing their centre-half forward and full-back. I think that's flying under the radar a little bit at Collingwood, what they're doing without those two.
Yeah, I think there's a number of teams that have got players out, Jacob. So, yes, you have a couple of your mainstays out, but, you know, Carlton's had five or six players out. Hawthorn's had five or six players out. Good to see Day back this week and Lewis back this week for Hawthorn, by the way. There's been a number of teams that have... I mean, Sydney's missing one of their captains. The Giants won last night without Toby Green, and they're the best centre-half back in the competition, pretty much. So I'm not cutting you that much slack because you're the same as everybody else, Jacob. You got a couple out.
No, that's fair enough. I just don't think it's talked about as much as the other clubs are. But no, that's fair enough.
Yeah. No, it's a fair call that you've got players out. And they are two-gun players, you're right. But I reckon every team could pull that lever if they wanted an excuse. So I'm not necessarily pulling that lever for Collingwood. You're in good shape, though, Jacob, I reckon, if you're Collingwood right now. You've got a flag in the bank. And you've got to be there when the whips are cracking again this year. So it's a perfect world, really. You kind of got a free go at it this year after getting that flag in the bank, as opposed to, you know, the Brisbane Lions and the Giants and Port Adelaide, who have to win one in this era. Otherwise, it'll be the missed era. James in Baldwin, you there, James?
Yep.
Good to have you. James, you want to talk Essendon?
Yeah, I just want to talk about Essendon and how proud I am of the boys so far this year. You know, the start of the season, if I look at our draw and I would have thought after seven games it'd be 4-2 and a draw now, you know, I would have thought I'd be kidding myself. But to get to this stage now, this point of the season, we've actually got faith and hope in the group. And you know, Essendon of old would have, in a game like yesterday, probably just folded. And when the heat was on them, they would have just probably collapsed and would have blown out to be a 5-6 goal loss. But the way they're having a fight every week, I think, yeah, as a supporter, there's just so much faith in them now and hope, like I said.
It's a nice world when you can't wait to go to your next footy game, isn't it, James? It's a nice world to live in.
It is. Because, yeah, in the past, it's sort of like, oh, what are we going to expect this week from Essendon, you know? How much are we going to lose by... You know, they're going to have a crack. But I think now, going forward, we can actually go to the game knowing that they're going to have a crack. And I think, you know, it all stems back to a few changes they've made as well. Durham on the ball, I think he's had an astronomical impact there. That heat and pressure he's bringing every week. And I think everyone's sort of just feeding off that as well.
Great call, James. I love the positivity of it. And it is a different Essendon we're watching right now, which is great. It's the evolved Essendon. Hold the line. Next time you go back to the G or whenever you want to, you've got a pink lemonade voucher for a round of Grey Goose vodka to share with some friends. Play starts and finishes at Pink Lemonade, Swan Street, Richmond, just down the road from the MCG, sponsored by Grey Goose Vodka. Going to come back to your calls after the break. Darko in Taylor's Lakes. Dave in Melton will get to you as well. Keep your text coming through. 0433 98 11 16 is the temper text number, brought to us by 40 Winks. One here, adding overtime to AFL games is not progress for the sake of progress. It builds even more excitement. That game needed a winner. Cheers, Andy from Daleford. Play a little snapshot after the break of the coaches and a few players that have been asked about the extra time dilemma. And we'll play a bit of that after the break as part of our great debate for titanium caravans. Built tough to tackle Australia's harshest conditions. Make your next caravan a titanium.
Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
Oh, it's hard to digest at the moment. There's sort of some feelings of relief that you didn't lose, but then also disappointment that you didn't win. But I feel like it was a fitting result for how the game was played and the spirit in which it was played.
If you were offered the grand final rules of 3 minutes either way, would you take the draw or would you play the extra time?
Oh, I think as players, we always want a result, so we'd play a few more minutes. But, we'll wait till the grand final to go for that.
Andrew McGrath, post-match on AFL Nation on SEN, and he would go for extra time. A few players, a few coaches were asked. Let me run through those that were asked. Here's Zach Merritt on whether he would go for extra time or not.
I love competing. I love winning. I hate losing, so I would love to have played for an extra five or 10 minutes to get a result. But, it's a unique feeling walking off with no team song.
So Zach Merritt's an extra time guy. A few coaches were asked at their press conference today. Sam Mitchell was asked, coach of Hawthorn, whether he is an extra time guy or not.
No, that's not my personal take, not the club's. But my personal take is I love the emotion that sport creates. And when you win, you have this great feeling of emotion. And when you lose, you know, it's a depth of, you know, it's not a great feeling, obviously, but you have the depth of emotion. And I think the emotion that's created in a draw is something that brings out something new. So I really think it's the right way. I enjoy it. The other thing about the in-season to finals is the in-season is all building towards a finals campaign where it should be different rules because you're competing for something different. So to me, the only fair way is to continue to have it the way it is.
Sam Mitchell, so he is okay with the difference between the two, home and away to the finals. Here's Michael Voss on extra time.
Oh, it's extra time. I mean, I don't really have a stronger view on whether we need to play extra time or not. I almost hand that over to the supporters to see where they would like to go with that and what the future looks like. There is higher demands if you choose to go down that path. That's the only consideration. You know, if that was to happen a couple of weeks in a row, that would make things interesting. But there's certainly, you know, I can see why there's an argument for, and I can also see why there's an argument against. And I traditionally like it the way that it actually is, but I'd be happy to lean on others to come up with that final call.
Michael Voss. And finally, Chris Scott was asked at his press conference today, the Cats coach.
I don't have a problem with a draw. I think a draw is a result. Yeah, and it seemed to be, and most of the time, it is a fair reflection of the contest. I guess there's the odd occasion where one team dominates and the other one's a bit lucky to get across the line, or not get across the line, get to the line with a draw. No, I haven't got a strong opinion on it. I think, yeah, the draw in finals doesn't make sense, so they've fixed that issue. But, yeah, 2 points in a home and away season, I think, is reward for something. I don't mind it, but not a strong opinion.
Chris Scott, and he's a bit like me. As I said off the top, do we need extra time? No, I don't think we need it. But do we want a situation where the home and away rules are different to the finals? Well, if you've got no philosophical problem with that, then we'll leave it as is, I think, because no one walked away from yesterday disappointed with the draw. 1-300-736-736. If you've got a thought, the great debate for titanium caravans built tough to tackle Australia's harshest conditions. Make your next caravan a titanium. And we've got an X poll up at the moment, and definitely should the AFL introduce extra time for the home and away season, early voting is yes, 10%, no, 90%. So the majority of people don't want extra time in the home and away. Back to your calls. Jackie in St Andrews Beach, thanks for holding. Jackie, welcome to you.
Oh, hi, Dwayne. I've got the kids in the car. I've got some happy kids. I am just glad. I'm really happy for them as well, because they're seeing some success, and we're very lucky to compete in Anzac Day as the Essendon Football Club. And for that result, for them to see, and it's been a good year so far, this is what I've wanted. And they're witnessing it, and I'm taking them to the Giants game, and I said to them, guys, I think it might have been good that we drew to Collingwood. We're going to be hungry and thrash those Eagles, and we're going to beat Giants at home. And it's good. It's all good, and I feel happy, and I'm swept up in it. I know we're not in the finals yet. We haven't won a grand final, but I'm living in the moment, and right now, it's good.
How old are the kids, Jackie?
Both 3-year-old and 9 and 11.
And what are their names?
Portia, Blaze, and Easton.
How are you, kids?
Say hi. Say go, Bombers, Blaze. And what do we say? What do we say to the Magpies? Well, I've already trained him, Dwayne, to say "Boo Magpies." He actually doesn't right. say it in a sentence. Just Magpies. It's "Boo Magpies." So we're happy.
Teaching them extremely well in some footy talk. Jackie, I appreciate your call. As always, 1-300-736-736. Darko in Taylor's Lakes. Welcome to you, Darko.
Yeah, love your show. Thought I'd bring up something. Yesterday, the umpires paid quite a few 50-metre penalties, but they never paid one to Darcy Cameron with a minute to go. He was basically just beneath the centre square on the half-back and wing. Which would have brought him basically 50 metres to the other end of the square. So he would have had a set kick to kick it 20-25 metres out from goal, where, you know, anyone could have just punched it through. That was with a minute to go. The ball was actually thrown to the wrong player and at his leg. So.
Okay, I didn't notice that one. I didn't notice the push to Nick Dacos that looked a little late. That could have been a downfield free, but I've had a few people send that through on the text, and I've had another look at that. If I was an umpire, I probably wouldn't have paid that as a downfield free either, but there's been a lot of those come through on the text as well, Darko. Little moments in the game where this could have happened, that could have happened, and the closer it gets to the finish, the more important in our minds they become. I appreciate your call. You've held for quite a while to throw that one at us. AK in Brunswick's been on the line for a little while as well. Welcome to you, AK.
How you going, Dwayne? Be cool on the business, man. Are you just quick call on GWS, mate. I reckon they're a side this year to win the flag. I know I'm calling a bit early, but the way they're playing and the way they move the ball, and I reckon they're well coached. And I think you're watching yesterday's game, mate. They're going to be hard to beat. I'll be honest with you, Dwayne. And I reckon about Brisbane. Just quick about Brisbane. It's a long season. I think it's a long season. Carlton was in this situation last year, and they came really strong. People say, oh, yeah, the coach and this and that. It's a long season. So I reckon Brisbane will come good in the right time. But I reckon GWS, Wayne, I reckon they're going to be the really side to heart to beat this year.
might end up with a GWS Sydney Grand Final. I'd love a GWS Sydney prelim. That'd be fun. Great to have your call. Okay, David Milton, I'll get to you straight after a quick break for news. Keep your calls coming. Another big half hour of Midday Madness. 1-300-736-736 is the open line number. If you want to jump on the open line, brought to us by Werribee Kia. Werribee Kia, always make buying cars easy. Always great to have your company for Dwayne's World. Let's hope we ain't seen nothing yet this round. It was a great day yesterday. Quite a few nice calls coming through on the call. I won't read them all out. Bit self-indulgent. But I appreciate how many nice texts come through. One here, well called yesterday. Love the new sync ability with commentary. I'll choose you guys all day long. Thank you. Go Pies. Glenn, thanks for the love on the text. Keep your text coming. 0433 98 11 16. And just a quick reminder, the new and improved SEN Stadium is here and now available at all AFL venues. You can listen to the SEN call with zero delay. No Wi-Fi required for the ultimate game day experience. Just go to the SEN app. Another one here that's a little bit left of field. Dwayne, on a lighter note, would love your opinion on Nick Larkey's impression of Damo Barrett. It was brilliant. Nick Larkey's a star, and that was a brilliant impersonation. And if you haven't seen it, Google it, because it's worth a watch. Dwayne, if someone is a sub and does not come on during the game, does that still count as a game played by him? Yes, it does still count. Another one here on the kick length. Make it 20 metres, but enforce it properly and efficiently. Phil from Ringwood, thanks for that. Well, with the new umpire's boss in, and he's already done something, Steve McBurney, he's told the goal umpires, well, if he hasn't told them, at least Laura Kane and Andrew Dillon have told the goal umpires, if you think it's a goal, just call it a goal, and it'll be checked back to the middle. And it was fantastic that they've been doing that so far this round. So already there's been a change, either from Steve McBurney or at least the way the AFL has decided to help the goal umpires by going back to the original rule of what it was. And that is, if you think it's a goal, if you're 1% unsure but 99% sure, call it a goal, put your two fingers up, we'll all celebrate it, and then on the way back to the middle, it's checked anyway. And thankfully, we've had no goals reviewed so far this round. So they have made that change, which was passed on to me in the last couple of days. Dwayne, what's up with Channel 7 changing the camera angle three times whilst Jamie Elliott was mid-air? As a TV viewer, I didn't get to experience the real hang time of the mark. Well, everyone does things differently. Channel 7 cover the game the way they decide to cover it. We cover it the way we cover it at Fox, so everyone's got an opinion on that. Still looked like it was a pretty damn good mark from the coverage, camera angles and the call of it from 7 and JB, so did a pretty good job of it. Dwayne, I just wanted to say your call of the game yesterday with the two Gerards was awesome. Listen to the SEN sync while watching on TV. Jez, thanks for your love as well. One here. Clearly, Essendon won the points yesterday by running the reigning premier to a draw and had major opportunities to seal the game. And quite a few coming through saying Carlton won. Here, another one. Carlton won. Anytime both Essendon and Collingwood lose is a win for the Blues. Oh, one here on the coach, next coach of Brisbane, Stephen King, to coach Brisbane. And he's lived in Queensland, so he knows the landscape. Thank you. Keep your text coming through, 0433 98 11 16. Bart in Donvale, welcome to you, Bart. Thanks for jumping on.
Oh, hi, Dwayne. Just 2 points. One, I went to the Richmond-Melbourne game, and I know Richmond's a bit irrelevant and the game wasn't really much to watch. But on the Thursday morning, I opened up the Herald Sun, and I get it delivered at 6:30 in the morning. The two teams weren't even mentioned, not even their names in the papers, like as if the game never existed.
Right.
And also, a ruling on, if the ball hits the boundary umpire near the point post, which happened in the Richmond-Melbourne game, is that technically out of bounds, or is it still play on if it hits the umpire on the, standing on the boundary line?
Yeah, if it hits the boundary umpire, it's still play on, Bart. He has to call play on and has to not call for a ball in that instance, unfortunately. The rule is, boundary umpires, don't straddle the line. Good call, Bart. Dave in Melton, you there, Dave?
Yeah, g'day, mate. How are you? Just on that for a sec, what if he hits the goal umpire and he's standing on the line? Is that a
play
goal
on. Or play on? Play on, I think. Yeah.
I better fix that up. Yeah, just on yesterday, everyone's blaming everybody for the loss, or for the draw, sorry. But I check, you can't have 9 shots for 3 goals and play full forward. I don't know how long Colm are going to put up with this. Even North Melbourne have got Larky. Most of the sides in the comp have got a full forward. Why haven't we got a decent full forward? will be a 3-4 goal better side with somebody there. I just don't get it, Dwayne.
So you want Mychek sacked, Dave?
No, I don't want him sacked. Look, McStay will be a perfect centre-half forward. Mychek can go to a forward pocket. He can even play in the back. We got him from Port Melbourne as a centre-half back. He can play in the back line as well. I'm not saying get rid of him. I'm just saying we need someone there, at least $1.2 million full forward, if we want to continue to win games. Because the midfield cannot make up the difference all the time. Simple as that.
So do you think they should pay the big bucks and get Jamara Ugalhagen, Dave, or someone like that?
Keep kicking it to Mychek so he misses 4 or 5 goals a game like he does every game.
Yeah.
We get so much ball down there. Like, I don't understand if I'm the only one that sees it.
Yeah, Dave, I'm a bit of a Brodie Mychek fan, so I'm probably not with you on it. Yeah, he had a bad day yesterday, kicked 3-3-2 out on the full, but he's normally pretty reliable. Players have off days. I think his reliability factor is one of the highest in the AFL when it comes to consistency. He's never probably going to win a Coleman, and he's probably never going to kick you at 10. But he does produce 2 or 3 important ones most weeks. So I'm probably not with you on the whacking of Brodie Mychek, even though he had a bit of a down one yesterday when it came to his accuracy. But always appreciate your calls, Dave, and hold the line. We've got 18 holes of golf for you with a mate down at Club Mandalay. Visit clubmandalay.com.au. You can head down to Club Mandalay, 18 holes of golf for two with drinks in the cart midweek for just $99. A couple of North Melbourne texts coming through as well on players that will or won't be traded and Alistair Clarkson's future, etc. A quick reminder, Harry Sheezel will be back on with us on Wednesday from 1. So next Wednesday to chat all things footy and wellness as part of Harry's World. If you missed it last Wednesday or the Wednesday of last week, he'll be back every second week thanks to Temper. The difference is Temper, T-E-M-P-U-R, mattresses and pillows like no other. Jamara is coming, Dave. Hold your nerve. That's from Duna. There you go. So you're getting Jamara Ugalhagen coming to help out Brodie Mychek next year. We'll take a break. Back to your calls and your texts for Midday Madness, 1-300-736-736. You're with Dwayneswell.
Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
Still getting text after text about the draw. One here, the draw is a quirk of the game that makes it great. No extra time for home and away. Another one here, Dwayne, extra time for draws in finals, definitely, but I like keeping it unique for the home and away season. AFL shouldn't automatically follow other sports. Andrew from Bundura. And the X poll, the Twitter poll, is still up and is still running 90% in favour of keeping the draw, 10% in favour of changing it. Keep your votes coming and we'll give you the final result a little later on. But it does seem as if it's overwhelming. Good afternoon, Dwayne. Went to the game last night to support the Pies with the other 93,000 spectators. What a night. What a game. Hugged it out with a Bomber supporter at the end. How good is Melbourne that we can enjoy a night like that and all be as one. Left the stadium and nice text. A long text, but I won't read it all out. Neil from Point Cook, lovely. Robbie and Carnegie, you there, Robbie?
Yeah, Dwayne, for me, the draw should remain. That guy that was potting Brodie Mychek, he's been our leading goal kicker for 5 years, and sure, he had a bit of a mixed bag yesterday, but he busts packs when he's contesting, and his groundwork is pretty good. But, you know, we all have bad days.
Good on you, Robbie. Hold on, I've got something for you as well in Carnegie. You've got a pink lemonade voucher for a round of Grey Goose vodka to share with some friends. Play starts and finishes at Pink Lemonade, Swan Street, Richmond, sponsored by Grey Goose Vodka. A couple other texts on that. Dwayne, I think you missed the main point of that last call. He wasn't saying get rid of Brodie. He's saying Collingwood needs a full forward, a proper, legitimate full forward. The Oregon Brodie Mychek is that. He's just a reliable 2 or 3 goal a game guy most weeks. To Dave, the Pies fan, talking about Mychek, I'm an Essendon fan, and I'd say every team would dream of having a player like him. Thanks for your text. Keep them coming through. I want to hear, why is that bloke having a go at Mychek? Maybe have a look at Cox that didn't even have a shot. Keep your text coming through. There's so many texts that I'd love to get to. It's not play on, Dwayne, if the ball hits the goal umpire pipe, if they think it's going through for a goal is paid. If not, a behind is paid. I was a former goal umpire. Mick, thanks for that clarification. And you're right. The rule is different for a goal umpire. I should have remembered that, and I'm glad you reminded me. The rule is different for a goal umpire compared to a boundary umpire. Keep your texts coming through, and I'll read a heap more out a little bit later on. But a sports update for Toolkit Depot. Tools, equipment, safety gear, and workwear from Toolkit Depot. A couple of coaches has spoken at press conferences earlier today. Firstly, Michael Voss giving the all clear for Wiedering and Zach Williams to play against the Cats.
Michael, are you confident that we'll see Jake Wiedering and Zach Williams tomorrow?
I am. Yeah, no, they've had a pretty reasonable week. So they both did a little bit yesterday. So they did enough, which what was needed. Had a look at them this morning, so they're ready to go.
What do you see from between now and the game to make sure they're right?
No, nothing. They're ready to go. So, yeah. So, no, we're pretty happy with where they're at.
Michael Voss pretty happy. Sam Mitchell on Will Day returning this week. Big inclusion.
Oh, no other than just get through training, but he'll he'll come back into the side, and looking forward to having him out there and just give us a little bit of something different around the middle of the ground. So, no, pleased he's back. He's worked really hard to get himself to this position, and he's ready to go. I'll let you know in a couple of days' time. I mean, I don't think he's still young. He hasn't played a heap of footy, so it's not like he's going to be the man that fixes every problem that we've had across the season so far. I think he's an important player for us, but I'm not expecting him to get best on ground in every game for the rest of the season. I think it's important that he gets back out there and starts to find his feet again. But I think everyone will be pleased to have him back out on the field.
A little bit more of Sam Mitchell and Chris Scott on facing Carlton with no Tom Stewart. Here's the Cats coach.
Yeah, I'm optimistic that we can. Tom would have helped. He actually mentioned to me, I might have mentioned it earlier in the week, I think he's missed the last four times we played them. So for one reason or another, which is a bizarre stat because he hasn't missed much footy. So we haven't had the chance to throw our best defensive unit at them, which is a shame because you need your best defensive unit against not just their forwards but their overall offence. But now we're not overconfident. We're really clear what a danger those forward half players in particular present. They're really, really good players, but it's not insurmountable. We have a lot of confidence in our overall team defence, so it's a challenge, but one we're looking forward to.
And Liam Ryan's back for the West Coast. Here's Adam Simpson talking about Liam Ryan's return.
I think he's nervous. Yeah, it's been a while. I think round two last year was his last senior game, so we'll manage him through the game probably differently than a normal game for him. So, but he played an extra game at Waffle, and we gave him an extra week before the Waffle game, so he's ready. But we'll look after him with some minutes.
Adam Simpson, coach of the West Coast. Midday Madness rapid fire straight after the break. So we'll get you on before 2 o'clock. Still plenty to come on the Barclays Smokehouse lunch menu. Ask for Barclay Smokehouse, grandmother ham at your local deli. Dermot Brereton to join us after 2 o'clock, so we'll have a chat to Dermot about all things footy, including yesterday's game and what might happen tonight. But rapid fire, straight after the break. You call, you get on. That's the Midday Madness promise. We've got a chance to take a few more of your calls. 1-300-736-736. The open line brought to us by Werribee Kia. Werribee Kia always making buying cars easy. And that sports news update for Toolkit Depot. Everything you need to get the job done. Tools, equipment, safety gear and workwear in store or online.
Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
Midday Madness rapid fire for Melbourne Mavericks. Mavericks v Fever, John Cain Arena, Saturday, April 27. Go to melbournemavericks.com for tickets. Rapid fire, you call, you get on. That is the Midday Madness promise. And for the first time today, all lines are free. So if you jump on now, we will get you on. But you need to be quick. 1-300-736-736. Had a call earlier on about the record. Ash Brown from the AFL Record has sent me a text. Yesterday was the AFL Record's strongest sales result at a home and away game since 2019, with demand outstripping the annual Anzac Day print run, but you can still grab one at aflrecord.com.au. There's a couple left online. So thanks for that, Ash. Dwayne, love your work. I think one of the reasons yesterday's game was so enjoyable was there were zero score reviews. Lee from Craigieburn, yeah, great change up by the AFL. Well done to Laura Kane and Andrew Dillon, or if it's Steve McBurney, well done to all of you. All goals are now called goals, and it'll be checked on the way back to the middle. No need for the goal umpire to call for a review. Of course, they're still going to review those that they believe might or might not be behind if they go the other side of the post. Paul and Eltham, you there, Paul? Welcome to you. Thanks for jumping on for Rapid Fire.
That's right, mate. City Council is useless in this town. If you don't realise that they've put all of Sunday parking in the city up until 10 p.m. at night, which means if anyone wants to go to an afternoon game at Marvel, they've got a two-hour parking and then they hit them up for a parking ticket. They do not want people to come into the city and they do not want people to come and watch the football.
Paul, I'm a bit disappointed by the parking situation as well. It's even tougher now. You can't park in the Yarra Park area. And I've had a few texts on it over the course of the last couple of weeks, Paul, so I'm glad you emphasised the point to everything. If they want people back into the city, make it enjoyable to take your car in and give you an opportunity to park without getting the ticket. I'm with you on it. Ken in Launceston, you want to talk to Nick Martin? Welcome to you, Ken. Thanks for jumping on.
Yeah, how you going?
Good.
Yeah, Nick Martin. Look, you know, the statistics just show how well he's playing and everything like that. Where do they get these blokes? You know, they've just picked him out of their SANFL.
They got him out of nowhere, really, and you're right. They pushed him forward late yesterday. He can play. Memo to Alistair Clarkson. Hey, did you see Nick Martin? Massive possession winner in the back half. Get pushed forward and nearly win the game for him. Maybe the Harry Sheasel move still on. Great call, Ken. Really appreciate you jumping on from Lonnie. Hey, Laura in Mill Park. You'll have to be quick, Laura.
Hey, loved the game yesterday as a non-supporter. Which King brother would you prefer to be? Who would you prefer to play for, Saints or Suns, at this stage of the season?
Oh, that's a tough question, Laura. I'm going to give you a prize for that. Hold the line. We'll find something for you. Oh, who would I rather be? I'd rather be maybe Max playing footy out of Melbourne. I like something about being in Melbourne to play footy, I reckon. So, yeah, if I was an AFL footballer this day and age, I'd probably rather be playing my footy in the biggest footy state there is, at the G as well, occasionally.
Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
Boys, great to have you company for Dwayne's World. Another massive couple of hours of Midday Madness just gone. We took a record amount of calls on Monday, 50 calls on Monday, only the 44 today, so a bit slack by me, but I apologise. Would have liked to have got more of you to air, but we did take every caller that called up today. So we'll do it again Monday for Midday Madness, so make sure you put that number in your phone, 1-300-736-736, the open line number, brought to us by Werribee Kia, always make buying cars easy. Let's talk some more footy. Dermot Brereton's been good enough to join me, AFL Nation commentator. Thanks to rjsanderson.com.au, personal and business tax experts. Five-time day, five-time night superstar. And the draw magnet, Derm, you played in the original draw between Collingwood and Essendon on Anzac Day. And I understand you're back lecturing Collingwood on what it was like to play in a draw this week.
Good afternoon, Dwayne. Oh, you forgot one of the accolades.
What's that?
Call number 45 today.
Yes, you are. Good of you to call through and have a chat to us. Well, most of the callers have been calling through on their thoughts on the draw. Are you a draw guy or an extra time guy?
No, I'm a let the draw stand. I can understand why we do it. We've changed around in finals. The final series to make sure we get a result that stands and leads us into the following week, or on the grand final day, the decree has been made. I can understand that because there's a time element to it, but just like, I mean, I know it's a lot lesser scoring, but they don't go straight to extra time in weekend rounds of matches in English Premier League. So yeah, I think we sort of just leave it as a majestic, brilliant display of sport that two teams were able to duke it out for 2.5 hours, and neither could say they were better, and neither of the two teams was inferior. So I reckon it's a wonderful part of our game that we can do that.
Yeah, I like it too, so I'm keeping it if it's my decision as well. What did you tell Collingwood's players this week? Did you have a good chat to them? Did you go down and have an official out the front kind of chat, or did you just mingle?
No, I was invited in, as you know, they have their side-by-side meeting once a month, and they invite somebody they feel they deem worthy of coming in and having a chat that they might be able to glean something from. And having played in that first game back in 1995, having been somebody who'd had quite a great deal of success, and then being able to equate those types of successful days as to how it stood up, stacked up against an Anzac Day stanza. That was how I talked about it. And I mean, I won't go into the nitty gritty. I mean, there's certain things. I mean, they were the one who extended me the invitation, so I won't go into some of the things I spoke about, because that's, you know, that'd be belying their confidence. But it was wonderful to go in there and see them. They were a completely and utterly respectful group of young men. It blew my socks off just how good they were.
If you had to score yesterday on points, would you have a winner out of yesterday?
Well, it sort of bucked the trend. I noticed that, the Bombers came out, and one thing that's really been assisting them this year is their accurate kicking. And they banged on six majors until they kicked a behind. Thereafter, they doubled up on behinds for every goal they kicked. Collingwood went the other way. Jeez, I almost said Hawthorn. Collingwood went the other way. So that's really benefiting Essendon. But one thing I noticed was, even counting, not discounting the fact that they banged on 6-2, I think, two in the first quarter, Collingwood finished quarters 1, 2, and 3 better than Essendon. And I was convinced that Essendon had to kick early goals in the last quarter to have a chance. Well, Collingwood got an early one, and I thought, right, they'll probably steamroll them now. And then Essendon kicked the next three, and that gave them that chance to hang in there. Because I thought, notwithstanding the fact that Langford had that late shot, Collingwood then eked away at it and came back once again for the back half of the quarter, was the better team. So full credit to Essendon for just not laying down and thinking that, this is how the first three have gone. We tire each quarter. They run over us. No, they dug in again. That game said to me yesterday, and I think we've got enough of a body of evidence now to suggest this is a different Essendon team to what we witnessed last year. I mean, so many people saying, oh, look, they're trying to puff their chests out, and the Essendon edge, that's trumped up, it's not real. No, this Essendon is a different outfit to the one we saw last year. They're playing well. Are they the best team in the comp? No, they are not. They still have room for improvement. We'll see how far that can go. But this is different to what transpired last year. They're a very capable team now.
What about Brisbane compared to last year? Did you watch last night? I'm amazed at how they just lack so much chemistry and effort.
Yeah, we did it. You know, you and I in our other lives worked for Foxtel, so I was doing the in-house analytical view of that game. And I was always convinced Giants were going to win and win comfortably. And for that reason, I mean, you look at the bodies of work, and teams don't lose their capabilities in a game or two. So last year, I've said it before, the back half of last year, there were two standout teams in win-loss ratios, and that was Carlton and the Giants. They both won 11-3. The next best, I think, was 9-4. So those two teams were the best teams in the back half of the year. They just didn't win enough early on to get them into the top four. Otherwise, things might have been a little different. So I thought the two best teams of the comp played last week. one loss, the key injury. The other was Carlton were without some very, very good players, mind you. So you deal with what you got on the day. But when you lose a key player such as Sam Taylor, when you're in stride of the game, some teams find it hard to cover that, react to that, and stop the inevitable. Giants weren't able to react to that last week in game. I think that, you know, if they're the two best teams, one of them wins. Hmm. And people say, oh, look, they mightn't be as good as we think. No, I still think they're top two team. So give them a week to actually work out, well, this is no Sam Taylor this week. This is the way we'll train. This is the way we'll set up. You'll do this job. You'll do X, Y, Z. I thought that's enough of a lead in that they'll sort things out down back. They did. And they were just far superior. They were, well, their ball movement caught Brisbane out a bit. Brisbane were without a few. They got a few things wrong. I was, two things that stood out to me for Brisbane, and that was their inability to be potent forward of the footy. And for the first time, they looked a little one-paced in the midfield. The Giants made them look flat-footed, and I think Dunkley's an awesome player, wonderful player, but he looked flat-footed in there last night. Zorko spent most of the game outside, so they lacked pace in there. Lachie Neal got 21 possessions for 200 metres gained. So he didn't have a great game of taking the ball forward, taking the game on. Yeah, they played him pretty well. And then, gee, McLuggage was probably the only one in the middle with a few wheels as well, and he didn't. Although he got the most possessions for them, high 20s, I didn't think he had any great effect on the game. So that was one area they looked a little one-tracker pace in the middle. And the forward line, I mean, I was working with Jack Revolt last night, and he said, look, if you can't get a two-goal tally out of Eric Hipwood or Danaher, they lose more often than not. So I studied them during the game and bookmarked pieces of play to show Eric was awful again. Six possessions for the game. He had a kick.
So what do they do with Eric? Because he does that occasionally.
He had a kick for goal 30 metres out, and he just pulled it savagely. And so he had one behind for the night. Danaher, I'll get back to Eric. They had one behind for Danaher, and Buckley really outplayed him, outbodied him. And Joe had a couple of good moments. But the very first possession he had of the game, he took the mark, 52 out on a 45-degree angle, played on automatically, and what does he do? He runs into the back of the umpire and has to jag his kick somewhere else. It's just unthinking. It's not letting your brain do the talking for you in a football sense. But he had some good moments, but then there was one chase where he gave up after three steps on Jack Buckley. It was late in the game. I know it was dead. But if you're the number one key forward, they're looking at you as the kingpin, your teammates, to actually show and lead the way. And it just looked awful. He got brutalised at a stoppage by Kieran Briggs, and that ended up in a goal three possessions later. So, yeah, his effort wasn't... He probably felt like he's given great effort, but it wasn't there. So your question is, what do they do with Eric? He can be... I'm sure he's trying, but there are moments where the body's looking like it's just... It's not giving everything he's got as a max effort. You know what league footy is like, Dwayne. If you don't give a max effort on every occasion, they gobble you up. They're just too good, the opposition. If the opposition is switched on to the level of what a league footballer should be and you don't give a max effort as a forward, they just take you apart. And there were times that he looked a little flaky last night, Eric. What do they do with him? Well, you've got two... And it's easy to see what Fags is going to do in his presser. He didn't whack them. I reckon he will behind closed doors, but he supported them to the media world. So I'd suggest that he's going to back him in and give him as much time, because they do need the two of them up there and firing.
Who wins between the Cats and the Blues?
I think, well, as I said before, I think the two best teams in the comp are Carlton and the Giants. I think the Cats, their ability to set up behind the ball has caught us all a little bit and thinking this might be the year they finally drop away, but they haven't. The one thing I'd say that a lot of people don't mention is that they really do guard themselves behind the footy, and that's because they have the luxury of the key forwards who are just wonderful players and can turn half chances into score. So they can take that luxury of setting up behind the footy so that they don't get exposed on turnover, and they've done that very, very well. I think at the moment I'd have them seeded, ranked third. But all things being equal, as I said, I think the two best teams in the comp, Carlton are one of them. I think Carlton win this, and especially without Tom Stewart as that organiser. Put it this way, if Tom Stewart was out there on the whiteboard, you'd be setting up and your instructions would be to negate him. He's not there. So that's a big, big plus for Carlton.
What about tonight, St Kilda? Any chance against Port?
They're a chance. I reckon they're going to be a little bit of one of these teams this year. They've been crueled by the draw. They're going to be one of these teams that are going to win a lot of surprise games and then fall off the perch a little bit. It's going to be one of those holding years, I would say, for them. Ross Lyon has always been a coach that says, I'm an anywhere, anytime coach. We're an anywhere, anytime team for every team he's ever coached. Yeah. The noise that came from St Kilda last week was, it's been a hard journey on the road this much with short turnaround times. I've never really heard that from a Ross Lyon-led team. So I think they're probably understanding this semi-young list. They've got a lot of really good young players, but they're young. And they're probably feeling the pinch of this arduous campaign five, six weeks in and what they've had been asked to do and perform and back up to. So, yeah, it's pretty tough. The Port Adelaide Power are a very, very good team. So I think they should account for them, especially those three midfielders they got are on fire at the moment. But I just cannot get away from seeing some of these St Kilda kids that if they don't feel flat, if they feel good within themselves, they're going to take down a few scalps. And Port Adelaide are that type of scalp that they might be able to take down. I'm a huge rap for Mitchy Owens. I think that boy's, we're going to talk about him in 3 or 5 years' time. We'll be talking about him like in the top half dozen players in the comp. I think he's that good. So, yeah, they've got some real top-end talent. They've probably been hurt early on, not being able to bank a few wins, to choose a few, rest a few at their luxury, at their behest. So that's going to hurt them a little bit by, you know, the end of the season. But, yeah, I think they're going to take a few scalps along the line.
And the last thing on the Toby Green bump before we let you go, your thoughts on whether he should have got a game or not?
You know, I defend Toby to the hilt, but I think in this day and age, it is difficult when you are committed to stop and turn, but you can make a slightly better effort than that. And I, as I said, I'd defend Toby to the hilt. I think he's wonderful. Yeah. But I think they got the right decision. If you're going to want to stamp that out, yeah, they probably got that right.
Derm, I look forward to seeing you at headquarters on the weekend. Thanks for your time.
Good on you, Dwayne. Hey, can I just make mention of one boy at Essendon?
Yep.
We talk about Harley Reid and what he's done for the West Coast Eagles, but you throw in Waterman. It's the first time somebody's won the footy ahead of the ball. Elliot Yeo's chipped in. One lad who's given Essendon, and they talk about the Essendon edge, one lad who has changed their look is the boy Sam Durham. He is going fantastically well. He had a reasonable game yesterday, not his best game, but last week he was superb, and he's been superb for most of this season so far. That boy has done wondrous things for Essendon this season. If you're an Essendon supporter, I'd expect a few more duffel coats with number 22 on them sometime soon.
So now that you've gone down that road, who is more important, the recruiter at a club or your development coaches, because it seems like Essendon's getting good development out of Durham, good development out of, well, Nick Martin's having a great season, Corbo's playing well. Do you put any credit to the development in clubs getting improvement out of players who go up a level across the summer?
It's a chicken and egg thing here, Dwayne, isn't it?
I know.
There's never going to be an answer because the recruiters will look at them and they'll pass over them. And then the mid-year draft of the next year, you can pick up Jai Newcomb, you can pick up Sam Durham, you can pick up Nick Martin, and you'll put him into the club, and the club will say, well, you know what, we've actually developed these boys. And the recruiter will say, no, I found them, needle in the haystack. And then the development people will say, no, you missed them the first time. So who's right and who's wrong? There's a bit of both at play here. Some boys just aren't developed. I think it shows that we have a very, very imperfect pathway to the top. There are some boys who are robust. Like Jai Newcomb, you'd suggest his body shape, he and Sam Dome, that body shape, you'd suggest that they were ready to play against men as 16, 17-year-olds. But you know what? They weren't. They've turned into big, heavy men, big, powerful men when they turn 20, 21. So that shows that our pathway is quite imperfect. It's probably the best we can deal with, but it is imperfect to find every player that deserves to get there. By the end, I hope they do. The problem with this pathway is, and I know a lot of kids, I've seen a lot of kids who I suspected had league talent, I thought had league talent. By the time they're 19 and they've been passed over, they love their footy, and even though they might still keep playing, they say, uni's more important for me. They train one day a week. It's not enough to excel, even though they might have had league talent, and they never get looked at again. These boys like Durham and Nick Martin, they're passed over early on, and at 20 years of age, they still say, no, it's the most important thing in the world to me. I'll keep training like I'm a league footballer, even though I don't have the infrastructure of the training facilities around me. I'm going to train to the point where I want to be a league footballer, even though I'm playing in front of 35 people on a wet, sodden oval on a Saturday afternoon in the second div. It's a huge difference once you get plucked. But, yeah, it's an imperfect world the way we recruit them.
Great to have you, Derm. Always good to chat to you on a Friday, and we'll talk to you next week as well. For RJ Sanderson and Associates, accountants and taxation specialists, take the stress out of tax. Great to have the five-time with us.
Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
Quick NBA update for Tyre Power. Nothing but net on Kumho Tyres. If you didn't hear earlier on, Philadelphia won game three of their series against New York. The Knicks lead that series 2-1. Orlando has won game three of their series against Cleveland. The Cavs lead that series 2-1. And game three of Denver versus LA, the Nuggets are about to take a 3-0 lead in that series. This game that I've been watching for the last 7 or 8 minutes is, well, they're just messing with them. So Nikola Jokic is still on the floor. There's a minute left, and he's just playing with LeBron James's mind at the moment. They're just messing around for fun. So they're going to demolish the Lakers. There's about 40 seconds left. They lead 107-98. Instead of just putting their bench out there, they've continued to let Nikola play out there and rub it in. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how they react to that, the LA crowd, given this game is in LA. That one is for Tyre Power, that little update. A couple of texts. Dwayne, serious question. Two flags, Norm Smith, long-serving captain, six-time All-Australian, five-time Copeland Trophy winner, three-time AFLPA and AFL Coaches Association winner, three-time Anzac medalist, all-time most disposals, most likely end up over 400 games. No Brownlow, but most votes all-time without a Brownlow. Is Scott Pendlebury an AFL legend in waiting? Yeah, I think he'll be in first year of eligibility. Thanks for that text. And he's one of the all-time greatest, no doubt whatsoever. So thanks for your text on that. But that's a certainty. You can book him in first year of eligibility, Scott Pendlebury. Dwayne, I see you love Coca-Cola. How many do you have on a daily basis? I'm three or four myself, Carlos from Geelong. I try not to go three or four, Carlos, but yeah, normally I'm a one or two Coke a day guy. Thanks for your text. And Dwayne, love your work. I think one of the reasons yesterday's game was so enjoyable, there were zero reviews. We talked about that. Lee from Craigieburn. It's good that the goal umpires are back to their normal routine of if they think it's a goal, signal goal, and it'll be checked on the way back to the middle. Thanks for making that change, AFL. And another one here. When will the MCG allow more fans into the stadium when there are spare seats at the ground? How much better would it be if the 93,000 was 100,000? Spare seats after quarter time should be filled with people waiting outside. That's from Nat. Well, I suppose those people who've paid for a seat have a right to have that seat available if they get there at halftime. So that's probably why they don't want to sell that seat off if you've paid good money for it. But yeah, it would be nice if there was 100,000 there. Back with more after the break, including we're going to head to the LIV Golf. Lost in the Wash for Schauser Dog Washers. Fundraise at your footy club, the environmentally friendly dog wash that gives back to the community. Schauserdogwashers.com.au if you want to find out more. Had a text, why didn't I play Chris Scott talking about Cam Guthrie? I played Chris Scott talking about the fact that Tom Stewart's not playing. Here, just for that texter, here's Chris Scott on Cam Guthrie's return.
Yeah, it's exciting. It's really good for the team. It's good for him. But it's probably not, it's in my observation, it's going to be a little bit of a change for other people sort of seeing him come back into the team after so long. But he's been around our training and our operation. He's a senior player. He has a big influence on the way that we think about how we play. So it's been more of a constant for us. So, he's slotted into our training, as I said, really nicely over the last month. So the cohesion with his teammates and all that sort of thing is something that we're confident in. So good for him, but it feels like a smaller step for us in some ways than it might appear from the outside.
A little bit more of Chris Scott. Can't wait for that one. Some ripper games still to come this weekend, including that Cats versus Carlton game. And a quick plug for Sammy Edmund, by the way. Still plenty to come on SEN. Listen to This Is Your Journey on Sunday from 10 a.m. Sammy Edmund chats to former Fremantle star and SENWA superstar Paul Hazelby. All thanks to Tobin Brothers Funerals, celebrating lives. Some LIV Golf next. Paddy Welsh, speaking of legends, he's going to have a chat to us after the break.
Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
Always great to have you company for Dwayne's World. Just watching John Rahm tee off at the watering hole at the LIV Golf. The music's playing in the background whilst he's actually teeing off. The crowd's going crazy. It is something else. And LIV Golf in Adelaide has thousands there. If you look at the galleries, Pat Welsh is in the middle of it. And he joins me to have a chat about it. LIV Golf Adelaide updates for First Choice Liquor and the First Choice Liquor Market, Australia's best liquor retailer. Choose to drink wise. Pat, welcome to you. Great to have you on. Thanks for jumping on.
Well, you and I have done this in the past, mate, haven't we? We've walked around the fairways. Well, you'd be stunned with the sights and sounds that are coming from this golf tournament. I've rarely seen a crowd bigger at any Australian event, if ever. And I've certainly never been, well, with the exception of last year's event, to a louder golf tournament. It's crazy. Our commentary area is over beside the watering hole, just beside 11 Green as well. And the crowds here, they're just 10 deep as far as you can see.
It's like there's a nightclub and they've decided to play golf in the middle of it, Pat.
Exactly right. Look, I've told the story a couple of times, Wayne, about last year when Tyler Gooch, remember, had that 10-shot lead going to the final round. Like late in the final round, the lead was down to about three, standing over an 8-footer for par, and he's measured it up from every angle. And all of a sudden, just as he's about to pull the trigger, Sweet Caroline bursts out. He didn't miss a beat, knocked the putt in, and finished up winning by three and collected about $7 million for the week.
So this is how many tournaments around the world now, Pat, and will this continue to expand to the point that this is going to be the new? It just seems to be taking over the world. It just doesn't seem like it's going to be able to be stopped.
No, look, I think what happened from last year was Chase Koepka's hole in one. That's the one that got the global exposure. And I think you'll agree with that, Wayne. I mean, you know, every TV news service virtually everywhere in the world ran it. And all of a sudden, LIV got the platform that they needed. There's no doubt about that this is their biggest event. I've spoken just quickly to the Shark this morning. He is just overjoyed. There's merchandise huts everywhere where the people have been lined up 50 deep all day long. And it's not cheap. You know, you don't get out of there under a few hundred bucks.
Yeah.
But there are people everywhere. They're loving this. They're lapping it up. They're lapping up the noise. And I tell you, they're shooting lights out. Young Kazuma's 8-under, as far as I know, when I left the box a few minutes ago. He's had six birdies and an eagle. This is a Japanese youngster who had to go through qualifying to even get on the tour. Peter Uihlein, the former US amateur champion, he's a very good golfer in his own right. Hits a long bombs. He's at 7. They've got their wish with the Australians going well. Matty Jones is 4 or 5 under. Leash is around there at 3. Cameron Smith made a great eagle earlier in the day to get it to 3 under. So, look, they've got all the big names there and a couple of these young imposters as well. So it augurs so well early in this tournament.
And I saw a few of the big names putting football-shaped balls on the putting green. In fact, I think Cam Smith even teed off with a couple of them, didn't he?
they tried everything here. And I tell you what, it's dragging the who's who, Blaine, as well. I spotted Casey Stoner early in the day, you know, our two-time world motorcycle champion. He's a mad golf nut. Greg Blewett is here. I saw rugby league legend Laurie Daly wandering the fairways. I flew down from Brizzy yesterday, and I think, you know, I reckon about 80% on my flight, and it was a full flight from Brisbane, were coming to LIV. And, of course, you know, they've got the entertainment of Tones and I and DJ Fisher tomorrow night. He'd be your man, DJ Fisher, wouldn't he, Blaine?
Well, Greg Blewett, he can't keep him away. He would have been playing in the Pro-Am. My daughter flew him down to Bumboogle to play a couple of weeks ago with Southern Airlines. He loves his golf so much. I think he loves it more than cricket, Bluey. So he's having a good time. I can see that. Well, what happens at night, Pat? I mean, you've got to get some sleep at some stage. Do you actually enjoy the frivolity of the after party as well? You're still getting there?
I'm an old man, but I will watch DJ Fisher, that sort of stuff. I'm not a big rapper, but it does fascinate me. The crowds, you can't get a ticket for tomorrow. It's a sellout because DJ Fisher is doing the show afterwards. But look, honestly, and as I said right at the outset, you and I have been to a lot of tournaments around Australia over the years. This is just sensory overload, mate. It's like nothing I've seen. Obviously, the Team Ripper guys are now playing 12. Oh, sorry, the number one group is playing 12. So Rahm is at 5-under as well. He's just snuck up on them. Sergio Garcia, who's had a hell of a year, been beaten off playoffs twice this year. And Cam Smith, of course, they're on 12 at the moment. You won't get a bigger noise if someone knocks it stiff here. And they tell me that the construct on 12, it took them 7 weeks to set it up.
Wow.
It's like something you've never seen. I mean, it's like a mini city has been transferred into the middle of Adelaide.
Crazy stuff, Pat. Great to have you on. Really appreciate your coverage as well as part of SEN's coverage on SEN Fanatic and the SEN app all weekend live from Grange. Great to have superstars like you part of our coverage. So thank you, Pat. We'll talk soon.
Pleasure, Ryan.
Pat Welsh joining us from Grange. And if you haven't seen the pictures, it's one of those things that I look at and think, well, I've played Grange before many a time, and I've covered many a golf tournament, President's Cup for the ABC, others with Paddy as well. But this is nothing that we've ever seen before, LIV Golf. It's out of this world. For First Choice Liquor Market, awarded Australia's Best Liquor Retailer 2023 by Canstar Blue. Choose to drink wise. Back to wrap it all up next.
Buddy Bet Tipping, your new Thursday night ritual. Available on the Buddy Bet app. What's gambling really costing you? For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au.
Welcome back to Dwayne's World. It'd be great to have your company today for another big Friday. Don't forget AFL Nation tonight. So looking forward to your company for part of the core team tonight from 6 o'clock. But Andy and Gazy not far away. Thanks to all of you who sent through text on the 40 Winks temper text 0433 98 11 16, and a great night's sleep night after night after night. That is the difference. The difference is temper. And if you Google the Temper Rage, you can check it out on their website, T-E-M-P-U-R, or just drop into your local 40 Winks and you can have a lay on the mattresses or a lay on the pillows yourself. Get your unique bed and match profile and find the right bed for you. 40 Winks, serious about sleep. Now, BuddyBet have launched a new product, BuddyBet Tipping. Unlike regular tipping competitions where you can't afford to miss a week and your score builds round by round, Well, BuddyBet Tipping lets you start fresh each week. Each round you pay $10 to enter and simply select who you think will win each of the week's games. And if you get the most tips right, you claim the total pool of money from everyone that has entered that week. So if you get the most tips with 8 in the round, for example, but 5 other people also get 8 tips, then you share the total pool of money with the 5 people. That's also the tip, the same amount as winners as you. So far, I've tipped 3 out of 3, if you include the draw, of course. The rest of my tips for the weekend, and this is the buddy bet tips that I've done. So I've also got a formula that I'm sticking by from now on as well that is part of my pre-season algorithm. So I've got the algorithm for the SEN tips, but I'm trying the buddy bet system where you kind of do have to pick a roughie, I reckon. Otherwise, you're going to share it with 100 people. And if you pick a roughie, you've got a chance to share it with a limited number of people and actually win a little bit of cash. But anyway, so far, if you count the draw, I've tipped 3 out of 3. So Port Adelaide tonight, Adelaide Crows I've tipped Geelong, but again, I was actually tipping Carlton. But according to my algorithm that I give Mitch every year, pre-season, always tip Geelong at home is one of the parameters that I give him. And guess what? This is a Geelong home game. So I would normally, if I was doing my tipping this week, tip Carlton to beat Geelong at the MCG. But because my parameters are always tip Geelong at home for home games, then this is Geelong home games. I'm tipping Geelong. Western Bulldogs, I'm tipping Gold Coast to win and Sydney to win. Buddy Bet Tipping, your new Thursday night ritual, available on the Buddy Bet app. What's gambling really costing you? For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au. Time to celebrate some lives. Thanks to Tobin Brothers Funerals. Visit tobinbrothers.com.au. Tobin Brothers Funerals, celebrating lives. Happy birthday to Giants young gun Finn Callahan, who's celebrating his birthday today. And Australian cricketer Peter Hanscom is also celebrating a birthday today. Tobin Brothers Funerals, a family-owned business since 1934. Take it to the bank. My certainty for the week, the Bank of Queensland, the human kind of bank. Your business is always welcome at ours. My certainty for the week and maybe the season is that someone is going to take a better mark than Jamie Elliott at some stage this year. And my certainty for the weekend is that someone will at least have a chance. They'll get up there. Everyone's been flying for marks this year. There's been so many that have been so close to mark of the year. Jamie Elliott set the bar for the rest of the year. Every other high flyer knows what they have to beat. And now that Jamie Elliott's done it, I guarantee you we're going to get some flies this weekend that are going to be rippers, even if they don't pull the mark down like Jamie Elliott did. So my certainty, take it to the bank for the Bank of Queensland, the human kind of bank. Your business is always welcome at ours, is that someone at some stage this year will take a better one than Jamie Elliott. There you go. Bank of Queensland, the human kind of bank. Big shout out to Werribee Kia and the team as well. The show is driven by Werribee Kia. The team will look after you just like family. Visit Werribee Kia. As always, they make buying cars easy. There's a swag of brand new 2024 Kias on offer at tremendous drive-away prices at Werribee Kia. You've got the 2024 new Kia Seltos from just $31,990 drive-away. 2024 Kia Sorento from only $52,990. And I'm driving one at the moment. It's a beautiful car, the Kia Sorento. You'll love it. If you haven't driven a Kia lately, well, jump into one. If you haven't driven a Kia Sorento and been on a freeway or a highway with it, it's a beautiful car to sit in. Plus, there's finance and trading offers on now with $500 gift cards on offer. But terms and conditions apply, so you have to check out the terms and conditions. But there's a heap on offer down at Werribee Kia. Talk to the team. Arrange a test drive for one of their, well, they've got 300 late model used cars in stock as well. Werribee Kia. See the team who always make buying cars easy at Old Geelong Road, Hoppers Crossing. Or call the hotline 1300-BUY-KIA or 1300-289-542. And if you drop down there, say hello to David, Janan, Aid, Jim will be down there from time to time. Might even answer the phone. If you just call up 1300-289-542, ask for David. I bet he's there. Or visit werribeekia.com.au to find out what stock they've got through their website, LMCT114. It's all done on the podcast. So all the stuff that we've done this week, all the chats that we've had this week, it's all there on the podcast. You can download the bits and pieces anytime or download the whole show. But please stick around. Andy and Gaze, you're looking forward to your company next, followed by AFL Nation, Port Adelaide versus St Kilda. And I'm back for your calls on Midday Madness on Monday at 12. Please join me then.